Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Today is Wednesday, February the 21st, and this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I am delighted you chose to get up and tap into this half hour of power. What a joy to have you all sharing this space. I don't take your being here for granted. We are on day 8 of our 40-day fast. My sincere prayer is that you are using this time or will use this time to recalibrate. Imagine your life as a road trip. You set out with a destination in mind, fueled by excitement and anticipation. But as miles tick by, unforeseen detours and unexpected traffic jams can throw off your course. And suddenly you're lost, questioning your direction and unsure of the next turn. This is where a GPS comes in, recalibrating your route and guiding you back on track. Similarly, a Lenten fast serves as a spiritual GPS, recalibrating our inner compass and guiding us closer to our spiritual destination. Just like the GPS silences the radio, allowing you to focus on navigation, fasting quiets the noise of distractions and cravings. It allows us to tune into the inner voice of Holy Spirit and reconnect with the things that matters most. As we travel different paths, encounter new experiences, and evolve internally, our perspectives and priorities, even our sense of self, require, here it is, adjustments. Just like any complex system, we all need regular recalibrations to ensure we're functioning optimally and moving in the direction that aligns with our values and goals. Some of you need an internal recalibration. You are experiencing burnout. When we push ourselves too hard for too long, we lose motivation and creativity and overall well-being. A recalibration might involve setting boundaries, right? Practicing self-care, rediscovering what truly energizes us. Have you ever experienced a loss or sudden change? Well, major life transitions like grief, breakups, or career shifts can leave us feeling disoriented. Recalibration involves processing these changes, reevaluating our priorities, and adapting to our new reality. And then some of you are saying, Collins, I need an external recalibration. And listen, that's okay. I've learned over the years, and I hope this liberates somebody this morning, but I've learned to embrace the imperfect journey. You got to learn to embrace the imperfect journey because we are not machines. Unlike robots following pre-programmed instructions, we navigate life's intricate paths with emotions, experiences, and ever-evolving values. To deny the need for adjustments based on these internal shifts is to deny our very humanness. Embrace the imperfect journey by recognizing that you ain't no machine. Also, embrace the perfect journey because growth requires change. Our understanding of the world, ourselves, and our place within it continuously evolves. Holding on to outdated perspectives or rigid routines hinders growth and can lead to feeling stuck or unfulfilled. Embrace the imperfect journey, thirdly, because challenges are catalysts. Life throws curveballs and sometimes they knock us off course. Hitting the reset button after setbacks, failures, or losses isn't about erasing the experience. It's about integrating its lessons adjusting our sails and charting a new course. Listen, the power of recalibration, reset, gives us the permission to pause. In a world that glorifies hustle, allowing ourselves to slow down, reflect, and reevaluate is an act of self-compassion. It creates space for introspection, identifying outdated patterns and making conscious choices for a more fulfilling path. But the pause also helps us to redefine success. True success isn't a fixed destination. It's a journey of continuous learning and adaptation. Hitting the reset button allows us to redefine success based on our evolving values and aspirations, celebrating progress over perfection. Listen, who am I talking to already this morning? I'm talking to the one who is making progress. You ain't like the more advanced people who can shout that things they used to do, they don't do no more. But you are a part of the group I'm in. The things we used to do, we don't do as often as we used to do them group. We ain't stopped completely, but we are at least making strides towards becoming better. Are there anyone on the call who can testify that I'm not there yet, but I've at least pulled out the driveway? Celebrate your progress today, that though you ain't perfect, you recognize that God is working on you and you are better today than you were yesterday. Listen, small changes, big impact. Recalibration doesn't have to be dramatic. It can be as simple as incorporating a new mindfulness practice, praying more, meditating on God's word more, setting healthier boundaries, or reconnecting with a neglected passion. And never forget that recalibration is not a one-time fix. It's an ongoing process, a willingness to adapt and course correct as we navigate the ever-changing landscape of life. So let's shed the societal pressure to be perfect, unchanging machines. Let's embrace the beautiful messiness of being human, acknowledging our need for recalibration and celebrating the strength and resilience it takes to even hit the reset button and chart a new course towards a more authentic and fulfilling journey. I want to welcome you this morning to the first day of the rest of your life. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. All we got is right now. If you are new to the call, my name is Marcus D. Collins, and I lead an amazing community. And we've been a community now for 6 years. It'll be 7 years next month. And we call ourselves Grace Community Church. And I am delighted to have you share this sacred space with us this morning. The need for recalibration becomes especially acute when our souls feel restless, adrift in a sea of anxieties and unfulfilled desires. This restlessness, as we discuss, arises from various sources: disconnection from meaning, emotional burdens, and the constant barrage of stimuli in our modern world. So I wonder, if your soul feels restless this morning, what outdated internal maps might need updating? What resets might bring you closer to a life that feels more aligned and purposeful and at peace? The past couple mornings, we've been talking about Psalm 62. In Psalm 62, verses 1 through 8, David expresses a powerful truth about finding peace and hope even in the midst of challenges. He doesn't just say that God is his protector or guide, but that God is his very expectation. That is, God is his rock, his fortress, and his refuge. And we discover that if we are going to find rest for our restless soul, we must recognize that God is our salvation. God is our expectation. Thirdly, I want you to catch this. God is our vindication. I can sum it up this way. Do not put your trust in man. Rather, trust in the God of power and love, knowing that God will vindicate the cause of the helpless and the oppressed. When a soul feels restless, it often stems from a yearning for justice, clarity, and a sense of being seen and understood. When faced with injustice or suffering, a restless soul can easily succumb to despair. However, knowing that God is our vindicator brings hope. Stories in the Bible like Joseph being falsely imprisoned, but ultimately rising to power, or Daniel facing persecution, yet finding favor with the king. These stories offer reassurance that even when things seem helpless and hopeless, God sees our struggles and ultimately brings about justice. A restless soul might even question its worth or feel unseen and undervalued. The act of God vindicating us affirms our inherent value and significance. Examples like God choosing David, a seemingly insignificant shepherd boy, to be a king, or Esther finding favor and saving her people. Both stories remind us that God sees our potential and God has a purpose for our lives. And then sometimes the restlessness stems from a desire to understand why things happen the way they do. While God doesn't always provide immediate answers, knowing God is our vindicator gives meaning beyond our current understanding. The story of Job, who endures immense suffering but ultimately finds peace in his faith, Job exemplifies this. It teaches us that even when things seem unfair, God has a bigger plan, and God will ultimately vindicate us and reveal the meaning behind our struggles. Even if we don't understand it on this side, the hymnology says we'll understand it better by and by. You say, Collins, I feel like a restless wanderer, and it makes life seem aimless. I question the season. I question where God has me. I question my daily tasks, wondering if they are having an impact. And this restless wondering is exhausting and lonely and also wearying. And I want to know, and I want you to know this morning, beloved, that God does not want us to live all riled up on the inside. That you can live a productive and fruitful and yes, even busy life and yet be calm in your soul, healthy in your soul, healed in your soul, whole in your soul. I believe this to be true. I believe that our spiritual enemy, Satan, that if he can't make us bad, he's going to make us busy. Let me say that again. If Satan can't make us bad, he'll just make us busy. Some of our souls are just busy. But I just want to speak rest over you this morning. Be at rest, O my soul. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Reflect on his goodness. Be still, O my soul, and know that he is God. I want you to listen really carefully, because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there are so many of you that you are like on this eternal quest for that something, that thing that's going to make your life feel more full and not so empty. And you've tried so much already. You've tried this person or that person, this job or that job, buying this thing or that thing, going to this place or that place, changing where you live. And you've tried and you've tried and you've tried and you said, Collins, I still feel empty. And you wonder, why am I so empty? And the reason is because you're trying to fill your life with something that will never satisfy. Imagine you're standing in a desert, parched and desperate for water. You see an oasis in the distance, shimmering with the promise of relief. Filled with hope, you rush towards it, only to discover it's not water, but a vast expanse of golden sand. You scoop it up, trying to quench your thirst, but the sand slips through your fingers, leaving you feeling even more empty and frustrated. This is how it can feel when we try to fill the void in our lives with things that are ultimately unsatisfying. We might chase material possessions, external validation, and fleeting pleasures. These are like mirages in the desert, offering the illusion of fulfillment, but ultimately leaving us more lost and thirsted than before. So if you're asking this morning, why am I so empty? Consider what you're trying to fill that void with. Are you chasing mirages, or are you looking for something that truly nourishes your soul? It is my conviction, beloved, that the only one who will satisfy is God alone through Jesus Christ. Why are we so empty? We are empty because we are sinners and our sin has separated us from a holy God. And God, in God's goodness, sent God's Son Jesus, who was without sin, to die in our place so that we could be forgiven of our sins. Jesus said, "Come to me and you will find rest for your souls. Call on me and you will find salvation." Beloved, we can never be fulfilled with anything in this world. We are only filled by the goodness of God. So I want to pray over you this morning. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I know that so many of us are weary, overwhelmed, wound up in our souls. And God, we sit before you in a moment of humility, reminding ourselves that you are God and we are not. And we choose to trust you today. In this quiet moment, we gather with hearts seeking peace from the emptiness that can sometimes echo within. We yearn for a fulfillment that transcends fleeting pleasures and external validation, a rest for our souls that cannot be found in the bustling world around us. Hear our silent cries, O God. You who calm the raging seas and still the storm-tossed heart, bring quietude to our restless spirits. Wash away the anxieties that grip us with the gentle rain of your grace and remind us of the haven you offer beyond the mirage of temporary satisfaction. Open our eyes, Father, to the true source of nourishment, those that feed our souls instead of just filling the void. Guide us towards genuine connections, passions that ignite our spirits, and a deeper understanding of our purpose in this vast world. May we remember today that true fulfillment lies not in chasing shadows, but in seeking your light. So help us to cultivate self-compassion, embrace our unique journeys, and connect with something bigger than ourselves, be it your divine presence, nature, beauty, or a cause that sets our hearts ablaze. And Father, even amidst the shadows and uncertainties that may linger, we lift our hearts this morning in gratitude for your unwavering goodness. Though challenges may surround us, we recognize the countless blessings woven into the fabric of our lives. Thank you for the gift of breath, the warmth of sun on our skin, and the laughter shared with loved ones. Thank you for the resilience of the human spirit, the strength we discover in adversity, and the lessons learned on difficult paths. Even when shadows lengthen and darkness seems to prevail, we hold on to the light of your unwavering love. It shines through in unexpected moments, in acts of kindness from strangers, in the beauty of nature's resilience, spasms of grace, in the quiet moments of peace that grace our hearts. So help us today to cultivate a constant spirit of gratitude, not just for the big stuff, but for the simple joys, the ordinary miracles that often go unnoticed. Grant us the wisdom to recognize your blessings, even in disguise, and the generosity to share them with others. And may our thankfulness today be a beacon of hope, illuminating the path for ourselves and those around us. Help us, Lord, to remember that even in the midst of struggle, in the midst of loss, in the midst of pain, your goodness endures, a constant source of strength when we are weak. Father, I pray protection upon every person that's connected to this call this morning. We come against all accidents, anything that will prevent us from arriving to our destination safe, sound, and secure. Lord, be our guide today. Lord, open our eyes to ministry moments. Let our light shine so that men may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Lord, you told us in your word that we are the salt of the earth. So Lord, let us be the flavor in somebody's bland life today. Lord, let us be the light that will brighten up someone's dark place. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, glory, and honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Come on, everybody shout amen. Amen. Hey, listen, thank you so much for tuning in this morning. I pray you all have a great day. I pray that you all be careful and be watchful and be encouraged. Peace.